So we're in a message series titled, I Am. I Am Who I Am is the same name that God gave of himself to Moses. Jesus makes seven I Am statements connecting himself with God, his Father. Part one, I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. When we want God more than we want his blessing, we will receive. So the challenge is to pursue more of God, not just more from God. Part two, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The blind man said, all I know is this, I was blind, but now I can see. Part three, I am the gate for the sheep. Those who enter the sheep pen through me will be saved. You see, we can't have access to God the Father by climbing over the fence or trying to get into heaven by some back door. Jesus is the only way in. Part four, we looked at, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. I know my own sheep and they know me. You see, a shepherd's job wasn't easy protecting against predators or thieves, keeping watch and finding water and pasture and exposed to the heat and the cold. And they had to be willing to die for the sheep and unlike a hired hand. But a shepherd loved and cared for his sheep, never leaving them. Jesus, the good shepherd, died for us in our place. Jesus knows our names and he cares about us specifically. The good shepherd wants all of us to believe in him, for everyone to come to repentance. Jesus rose from the dead, and he gave us a living hope. Jesus has a shepherd's heart. He's willing to die for us. Jesus has a shepherd's eye, finding and protecting us. Jesus has a shepherd's faithfulness, never leave or abandon us. Jesus has a shepherd's strength, delivering us from the enemy. Jesus has a shepherd's tenderness, carrying us on his shoulders. Jesus is the good shepherd. Well, this happened a few years ago, but someone said some hurtful words about me, and they didn't know I knew they said them. I thought they liked me because they were nice to my face and cordial and pleasant and even supportive. And my heart was wounded. It was disappointed and hurt. Then that wound turned and began to be filled with rage and anger. That anger turned to bitterness and then into unforgiveness. And I wanted to tell them exactly what I thought of them. Well, I know that we've all been hurt by someone we thought liked us. They said something about us or they did something to us that left us confused and hurt and it made us angry. It left a gaping wound inside of our hearts. And that wound began to fester with unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and even revenge at times. And all the while, we could feel God saying to us that what we should do, but we resisted, right? Because we want to nurture this wound. We want to hold on to this wound because they don't deserve our forgiveness or deserve a second chance. So we put on our I'm good face and live our lives avoiding that person or worse, nursing that wound and what they did to us. How far are we willing to go holding on to unforgiveness and holding on to bitterness? What do we do with those wounds? Well, the title of my message this morning is, I Am the True Vine. And just as Jesus declared of himself, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world, and I am the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd, he also said of himself, I am the true vine. When Jesus said this, he just had the Last Supper with his disciples, and he's comforting them and promising the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15 tells the story. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So there are three aspects in our text this morning. The vine, the gardener, and the branches. Jesus is the true vine. God is the gardener. And followers of Jesus, Christians, they're the branches. So here's the picture. The vine feeds the branches who produce fruit while the gardener trims and tends to the garden. In the Old Testament, the vine is used as a symbol of the nation of Israel. The prophet Isaiah spoke of Israel as God's vineyard where God expected them to bear fruit, but they produced inedible grapes. In Psalm chapter 80, God transplanted his people from Egypt like a vine. And when Jesus calls himself the true vine, he's indicating the existence of a false vine. God the Father is the master gardener who tends to the vineyard. He's in charge of caring for the vines and pruning the branches so they'll produce more fruit. And he does that in two ways. He cuts away any dead wood that can produce disease and insects. And he cuts away any living growth so that the life of the vine, which is Jesus, will flow in and produce a quality crop. The branch is connected to Jesus, the true vine. See, the branch has one purpose, bear fruit through the vine. The branch can't produce its own life. It draws life from the vine. The believer is the branch connected to Jesus, the true vine, devoted to the work of bearing fruit to the glory of God. Now, Jesus, the true vine, is making a contrast with the nation of Israel. The path to God doesn't go through being Jewish, but through Jesus alone. Back then, if someone came up to a religious leader and wanted to be made right with God, well, the leaders would tell that person to be, you know, to bring your sacrifices and to observe the Jewish festivals and the Jewish holy days. No, you see, to remain in the true vine is the only way to please God. Every branch in Jesus that does not produce fruit, you see, God the gardener cuts off. Every branch that does produce fruit, God prunes, God cleans, he lifts up. Why? So that the branch will produce more fruit. Sometimes the branches would grow so large and drag on the ground that the gardener would have to prune them back. You see, a branch can't live without the sap of the vine flowing into it. A Christian can't live without Christ's Holy Spirit flowing in them. And if Christ's followers don't bear fruit, it's a sign that Jesus isn't in them, and that branch will be cut away by God. A fruitless branch, a fruitless Christian, sadly to say, is useless to God. God's goal for followers is to increase in fruit bearing, not decrease. Christians are to progress from producing no fruit to some fruit, to even more fruit, to much fruit, to remaining fruit. The word remain has to do with intimacy and relationship with Jesus. It means to love him, to obey him, to pray and to worship him. Remain, to keep on abiding, keep the connection alive and growing, right? Keeping his word, God's word, the Bible, and his words keeping us. We can't please God apart from Christ. And the fruit that our lives display, it's not our fruit, it's Christ's fruit. Author Philip Yancey writes about how as adults, we celebrate when children learn to do something on their own. They get dressed, they brush their teeth, they tie their own shoes, and ride a bike. And as adults, we like to pay our own way. We live in our own houses, make our own decisions, and rely on no outside help. But when we're faced with an unexpected challenge, we seek out self-help books, wanting to figure it out on our own. This independence, thinking that we can make it on our own, is what Jesus told his disciples, "Without me, you guys, you can't do nothing." We live dependent on God, who holds all things together. Most parents feel the pain when that child outgrows dependence, even though knowing the growth to be healthy and normal. With God, the rules change, right? We never outgrow dependence on Him. If we think we do outgrow our dependence on God, we're misled. If a Christian chooses not to remain in Jesus, they'll be cut off, thrown away where they will wither. They'll be gathered up and thrown in the fire and burned, just like the branches in our yards, right? We throw them out or we burn them. Jesus is teaching here that a believer can fall away from grace. They will be cast out, become withered, gathered up, and cast into the fire because they lost the life-giving sap, who is Jesus, from the vine. Christ's words only remain in those who obey His words. God is glorified when Christ's followers bear fruit, keep bearing fruit. It proves that Christians are Jesus' disciples. Jesus is the true vine, God is the gardener, and you're the branch. So what kind of branch are you, fruitful or fruitless? As the true vine, Jesus is the standard for all measurements in life, whether it's truth or grace or love, kindness, forgiveness, or whatever, right? There are two types of branches described in Jesus' words. The fruitful branch is the one that produces fruit, and their branch is being pruned by God for producing even more fruit. They are producing fruit because they're remaining in the vine. They realize that apart from Christ, they can do nothing. The fruitless branch is in the vine, but it's not producing fruit. Their branch will be cut off for destruction. They're not producing fruit because they're not growing. They're not remaining in Christ. This disease that eats at the base of the branch is called sin. And God could leave you alone, but because God loves you, He prunes you and encourages you to bear more fruit for His glory. Being pruned, it hurts, but God the Father is near to you when He is pruning you, cutting away the dead wood that's unnecessary. He's removing things that are robbing you of spiritual life. Pruning isn't just removing the bad things in your life, it's also removing the good and the better so that you might have the best. How does God the gardener prune you? Well, He uses the Word of God to reveal His truth, to cleanse you. He speaks through His Holy Spirit to convict and counsel you. You can trust the Master Gardener. He knows what He's doing. The more you remain, and that's the key word here, the more you remain in Christ, the more fruit you'll bear, and the more glory God receives. God is seeking to make you fruitful by lifting you up, encouraging you, so you produce more good fruit in your life. You will face challenges and trials and experience difficult times, and like the branches on a tree that are hanging low, but God is wanting you to grow in your faith. God's wanting to remove the bad twigs, the habits, the pride, the sins that are hindering any potential growth in your life. He trims the branches of your life that it might bear more fruit, much fruit. And this isn't easy to go through as a follower of Jesus. So what fruit am I talking about? Well, it's found in God's Word in Galatians chapter 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no laws against these things. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit that should be evident in you because of all these that are found in the character and person of Jesus Christ. What's the Holy Spirit revealing in your heart even now? Fruit reflects the character of its tree. Apples come from apple trees, and oranges grow on orange trees. The fruit in your life should reflect Jesus, his attitudes, his actions, his character, the way that he treated others. But fruit is also visible. You walk into an apple orchard, you can see the obvious apples. You can tell the health of the tree by its fruit. The same with your life, right? The fruit of an authentic follower of Jesus will be visible. Fruit is meant for others. The apple on the tree isn't for the apple tree itself. The apples are meant to be picked and eaten by others. The fruit of your life will benefit others. Well, how do you produce fruit then? Jesus tells you that you are to remain in him and him in you. Remaining in Jesus means you need to hang out with Jesus. You can't avoid Jesus all week and then show up on Sunday morning and expect to grow. You only produce much fruit when you remain in him. How do you remain in the true vine? Well, you remain in him by spending time with him in prayer, reading and obeying his word, worship, fellowship with other believers. You remain in him by being discipled and discipling others. It's a real relationship to the true vine. Jesus will always do his part as the true vine. It's up to you to do your part and remain in him. When you are in close relationship with Jesus, your requests will align with God's will. For example, if we're praying for the salvation of a loved one, well, that's a prayer that is the will of God to pray. Keep praying. But God isn't a genie in a bottle and will grant anything we want. Do you always receive what you ask for from God? Well, the answer is no. In God's word, if we fulfill a condition, God will fulfill his promise. God has never given a promise without stating a condition to go along with it. If you have forgiven others, God's word says that he will forgive you. If you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. If you remain in the true vine and God's word remains in you, Jesus says that you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. My question this morning is, are you remaining in Christ and Christ remaining in you? Are you meeting the condition so God can meet the promise? Now, this God's love is unconditional. No matter what we do or don't do, God will always love us. But a good God will do whatever it takes to cause you to bear fruit. God will cut and prune and trim you, not because he's mad at you, but because he loves you. He's not content to leave you as you are. He is passionate about his relationship with you and desires to shape you into being more like his son, Jesus. And that happens when he prunes, when he cuts away the parts of you that are dying so you can grow more and more healthy. God is more concerned about your character and greater growth and more fruit than he is about your comfort. You might be going through something very difficult and challenging. Hear me this morning. God is near to you. Don't resist his pruning. He loves you and is shaping you into something beautiful. To remain in Jesus is more than goosebumps and emotions. To Jesus, it's a reality. True disciples are connected to him. He's saying to you this morning to just remain in me. Stay with me. Get your life from me. David McCaslin says this, whenever you wonder if you're being a fruitful Christian, ask yourself, am I like Jesus? Is his life flowing through me in the ordinary activities and relationships of each day? Do the grapes of my life point others to the vine? Fruitfulness is not primarily a matter of what I accomplish. It's the result of my being in close fellowship with him. Fruitfulness is not primarily a matter of what I accomplished. It's the result of my being in close fellowship with Him. Without the life-giving sap coming from the vine, the branch has absolutely no chance of survival. It's the same when you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior. Jesus said that apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't bear fruit, remain in Jesus the vine, then you're not connected to Him. God wants you to remain, to abide in Christ, His Son. Your life in Christ must grow fuller and deeper. And as you grow, God receives more and more of the glory. People will recognize you as a follower of Jesus, not just a fan. So live so Christ may bear fruit through you. As I close this morning, I am the true vine. This past Valentine's Day, I gave Julia a bouquet of flowers. And she put them in a vase with water and displayed them on the table. And we enjoyed seeing their beauty, their colors, and even their smell. There's something about fresh flowers that brightens up a room. I knew the bouquet of flowers I bought Julie wouldn't last long, though. Even though we enjoyed their beauty, they were actually dying. They were dying because they were severed from their life source. And after a week or so, we had to throw them away. So my challenge today is don't be severed from Jesus, the life source. When that person said some words that wounded me and I was hurt and angry and full of unforgiveness and resentment, God was speaking to my heart. And although I didn't want to let it go, God was pruning away the bitterness so I could grow and bear more fruit. Are you remaining in Jesus, the true vine? If so, are you producing more and more fruit? If not, what is God wanting to prune, to cut away in your life? How would our families be different, mom and dad, if we disciplined our kids, discipled our kids to love Jesus? How strong would our marriages be if we each remained connected to Jesus, the true vine? What would our boardrooms and classrooms and lunchrooms look like if we were producing the fruit of the Spirit on a daily basis? How much impact would our church have if we were abiding in Jesus, our youth group, our kids? I am the vine. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear fruit. Let's pray.